Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18.
Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So Father, I pray that you would help us and speak to us through this scripture. I pray that our familiarity with it will not be a blockage to hearing you today. Speak to us, Lord, we are listening. Amen.
Amen.
So, as we have said, this is a common scripture. Some people have even given it a title, they call it the Great Commission. And if you are new to the Bible or you don't really know about what we are talking about, this is the period when Jesus has been crucified, he's died, and then he's been risen. Before he goes to heaven, he says to his disciples, "Come to Galilee and we're going to meet at a mountain." And these people, the disciples, they come together and they meet up with him. And he gives them some words. Part of the last words of Jesus. We see some of them in Acts chapter 1. But this is what he says to them. And we just read. Now, what has happened over the years is that people or the church has rightfully or correctly focused on these words so much. Because this is the instruction that Jesus has given. But there's one challenge that has come out of that, or one problem. And it's the fact that people were focused on the go part of the instruction. We look at it and Jesus says, "Go to these people." But this actually leaves out certain elements in this instruction. We see some problems associated with just focusing on the going part. Because what that has done is some people started to think that going means you get onto an aeroplane or you get onto a ship and then you go to far away lands. And because that is not an easy thing to do, it means that only a few actually go. It has then led to specialization, where some people think there are some special people that have been called to go somewhere. And this is what we see as like the missionaries, you know, going from their land to another land to bring the gospel. And because we're focusing so much on going, we have actually neglected some other important parts of the instruction. And this morning I want to talk about two of these forgotten elements. And I'm going to talk about this because you will see in this next season for our church, we're actually going to be focusing on this. This title of discipleship is very, very important. And we need to spend some time on it. So there are two things that I think people don't make a big thing out of, but they actually are big. Coming out of this scripture. Number one is make disciples. Jesus didn't just say go, but he said go and make disciples. In fact, some people who know the language even better, they will tell you that the actual instruction in there is make disciples. That's the big thing that Jesus is talking about. So another way of translating that could be, as you go, make disciples. Make disciples. So they actually say that going part is less important than the making of disciples. And you and I, if we have given our lives to Jesus, we are called to be disciples. And then we are also called to make disciples. Now at this point, it might be good to look at the question of what actually is a disciple. I don't think I will be able to unpack everything right now. But just for us to say, a disciple is more than just like you enrolling into a school. Our children wake up in the morning and they go off to school and then they come back home and they leave stuff to do with school there. Yes, they might do their homework. They might tell us about their teachers and what happened. But they can afford to forget what's happening there. And the relationship between the teachers and the students is a bit less loose than the relationship between a disciple and their master. Because being a disciple meant that you left what you were doing and you actually made it your life mission to follow this man around and learn from him and look at what he was doing. In fact, a lot of the learning was not even by you being taught by mouth, but the master would just leave out life that he wants you to see. And you picked things from that. Think about Jesus and his disciples. He called them to himself. And he says they left their nets. They left their fathers and mothers. And they followed him. That is a very big thing. It's not like a one leg in, one leg out kind of thing. It's a commitment. You are a learner. And you want to learn so much that you attach your life to this person. And for this person also, they're so serious about this business of teaching you. That they open up their life and they devote themselves to you. So you can see that it's a much stronger connection, much stronger relationship than what we sometimes think. My question this morning is, are you a disciple?
Are
you wanting to learn so much from Jesus that you can leave other things just so that you can focus on Him? Or maybe, is there someone in your life that is teaching you, mentoring you, and helping you along? And you value that relationship so much that you give it a high priority in your life. Poor desire that relationship with those that we're learning from Him. He said, guys, I'm following Jesus. Why is that doing this? You follow me. In other words, learning from Jesus.
My disciple.
I want you to be my disciple. So we don't have this situation whereby someone just says, no, I'm just learning from Jesus. It's just me and Jesus in my house and my
Bible.
Because Jesus teaches us through other people as well. That's why he spent 3.5 years with this 12 men. And he says, now I want you to go and do the same thing that I did with you. Are you a disciple? Second question. Are you discipling someone? Is there someone that is learning from you currently? Because not only are we called to be disciples, but we are called to be disciples. Or maybe another way of looking at it or asking this question. Is your life such that when other people look at it, they actually are learning things from you? Is that so? Is that what we are? We need to think about that because Jesus says, make disciples. Here's the second thing that I think people don't always talk about. Jesus said, teach them to obey. There are other things about baptizing them and so on, and I think as a church we're very good at baptizing one another. But this part about teaching one another to obey is actually the discipling process now. In other words, if they ask Jesus, Jesus, you're telling us to make disciples, how exactly do we do that? Jesus would have said, teach them to obey the things that I taught you. You know, there are so many Christians in the world. 2.4 billion people in the world are Christians.
2.4 billion people.
That is about 30% plus or minus 30% of the world population. Christians. And over 700 million of those people are in Africa. So Africa is the continent with the largest population of Christians. Did you know that? Can we say yes? Why are you nervous? I think you know where this is going. 17 million Christians are in Malawi. That is incredible if you think about it. Because there's about what, 22 million. So the majority in Malawi, if you ask them today, they will identify as a Christian. They say, I am a Christian. That's about 80% of Malawi Christian. Now you tell me, when you look around, does it look like we've got 80% Christian in this nation? And don't feel bad, because this is the same thing. 80% of Zimbabweans, Christian. It means something is wrong somewhere. Because we've got high rates of corruption in Malawi, in Zimbabwe, in Africa. Even though we've got the highest number of Christians, but the behavior that we see is very un-Christian. You know, somebody, an African theologian, actually says the Christianity in Africa, he said it's a mile long, but it's only 1 inch deep. What that means is we've got lots of Christians, but the quality of Christianity is very shallow. What is wrong? We are converting people, but we are not discipling people. It's like people giving birth to children, and then you don't look after the child to grow up. You just give birth and you leave them, and you give birth and you leave them. What we need is to disciple people. Because when we don't have discipleship, this is where people say, I'm a Christian. Because they accepted Jesus somewhere, at a crusade, in a church, or somewhere they accepted Jesus. But when you look at their life, you see that they are stealing, they are lying, they are sleeping around, they are disobedient to parents, they are very bad workers, they are lazy, their spirituality is low, shallow, they don't know their Bibles. People will say, I'm a Christian. But when Eid comes, you see them celebrating Eid. I'm a Christian. But when they're doing those African traditional rituals at home, you see them there. Sunday night they are going to the Nanga in the dark. The reason behind this is that we are not teaching people to obey. We are not discipling people. We need to learn what Jesus taught. When we have learnt it, we need to teach what Jesus taught. In other words, we need to ask the question, what does Jesus say about family? And then we teach that. We are not teaching what our culture says. We are not teaching what the world out there is saying. We're not finding some guru who's written a book somewhere and we're following that book. Or getting it from a movie. We're getting it from Jesus. What does Jesus say about work? What does he say about life? About salvation, about education and career and all these things, about my money or my marriage. What does Jesus say about farming? He says stuff about all those things. But the problem is we get our education or our learning from somewhere else. We don't get it from what Jesus says. You know, when I was growing up, not when I was growing up, when I was reflecting with friends of mine how we grew up, we were asking each other, what did we learn about the things that we know about life? Where did we get sex education, for example? Where did we get stuff to do with career? And you know what happens, at least in a Zimbabwe context? Yeah, people wake up, let's say it's holiday, they're not going to school. They just get out of the house and they go somewhere on the road and they find a bridge with all these bridges. You know where you put the little bridge and then he puts the little thing on the side to guard the cars. That's concrete slab. And you sit there. Your friend sits there. You can fit about four. And for the whole day you can sit there. And this is where your education happens. This is where the older boys tell you what to do with girls. When you get angry, this is where they tell each other, oh, you are like small, you go to that shop, you can steal some chocolate and bring us. There is discipleship happening here. And so now the grown up men are married. We're having problems now. Guess where the problem started? It didn't start when I got married. I got it from the bridge there. Because nothing about Jesus was being taught. Maybe I'm just actually thinking, maybe some people need to start bridge ministries, where you go and see people's voice, and
people
have done it in Christian history.
Who's
that guy who wrote the cross and the swift blade? You know him? Where are these names when you need them? Anyways, I mean, this guy, he would go to the gangs. The guys with the knives, the guys that rock you at night. And he started a ministry to disciples.
And I am a wife
with the sun. Chuck Corson, he would go into the prison.
Chuck Corson, I would have made him
teach them about Jesus. So we can go on those bridges or wherever it is that Malawian youths are found. And we teach them to obey. Look at what Jesus said about every subject in life. And let's teach people that. I've already told you, we are going to be strong in this coming season on this issue of discipleship. What does that mean practically? We want to try by all means for people to get into pairs where they disciple one another. In my early days as a Christian, one of the things that made immense, like a lot of significance, gave me significant change, is we had a community group where one of the elders in there, very wise, realized that there's lots of young people in this group now. And one evening, as we were meeting, he just came in. And he said, guys, we're going to do discipleship. He had already thought through about who's going to pair with who. You are paid with that person. We need to do something like that. I know it may not work perfectly, but if you see us coming to you and saying, hey Willard, We think you can depend with Jonah.
What about your Jonah?
Please teach him.
Who's this?
Disciple him.
Maybe say
he is the material for you to go through. Please accept that. Especially for those that are going to be disciples. Please accept that. Because you are not going to grow. This church is not going to grow. Christianity is not going to grow until you have been discipled. So some people will be paired into twos. Other people, it might be a little discipleship group that is going to be formed, where there might be one or two mature Christians who are looking after this group of maybe 3-4 boys. And we want this to happen even on the adult level as well. Because you are old doesn't mean that you know it all. In our teachings, you will notice that we're going to try and start discipling from the pulpit here. We're going to start encouraging in our community groups to take a discipleship turn, because we all want to learn. Now, this is going to call for a lot of humility. It's going to call for a lot of desire to learn. I told you about that story earlier on when we were starting. Some people didn't want to submit to this teacher because she was young. Some didn't want to learn from her because she was a woman. Some were embarrassed to show what they didn't know. They just didn't see this as an important thing. But you know what the result of that was? Is that many of those that refused to take those lessons struggled for the rest of their college days. Because you had to write your assignments on the computer. You had to do your research on the computer. And because they did not want to learn, they struggled. Some, it actually affected their results. In fact, we had one guy who actually left school because of that. He would type his whole assignment, like, I don't know, 5,000 words or how many words he used to type. But he did not know how to save his work. So he's written the whole assignment. And then he shuts down and the thing gets lost. This thing of automatic saving that is now coming, it wasn't there those days. You know, we had the people kind of desktops. If you shut that thing down, it's gone. He lost his assignment once. He lost it again, second time. Third time. The fourth time. True story, he got up in the computer and he said, I'm done with this school. And he left and he never came back. Because he did not want to learn. He was too proud to learn. Don't let that be you. There is so much that God has for you.
But so much
that needs to come out. So much bored. Guys, I had no idea what rubbish was inside of me. And even now when I look at myself, the inside me, the look that you don't know.
There's
so much that Jesus still needs to deal with. And in a discipleship relationship, it's not just about memorizing scripture. It's about looking at who you are as a person. Why do you find it difficult to say sorry? You see how we've taken another step now. Because I can memorize a scripture that says, forgive. Is it pride? Is it fear? And so I'm just really begging you, during this period, desire so much to learn. Desire so much to learn. You know, in Matthew 11, where Jesus talks about, you know, if you're carrying heavy burdens, come to me, or you who are heavy laden, and so on. We love that scripture a lot. Because we picture going to Jesus and removing these burdens and he takes them. But you know what it says in that scripture actually? It says, take my yoke upon you, upon yourself, and learn from me. I think it's Matthew 11:29. Learn from me. The way that you lay down these burdens is by hearing what Jesus says. So you put off what the world is saying, what culture is saying, what the books is saying, the movies is saying. But you take on what Jesus is saying. Learn from me. The disciples went to Jesus and they said, teach us to pray. They've been walking with Jesus for quite some time. They're the most cool discipler, maybe than the disciples of John. But they did not hide the fact that they don't know how to pray. Teach us to pray. Some of us need to be able to say to someone, teach me to pray. Yes, I've been a Christian for 5 years. I've been a Christian for 10 years, 15 years. But please teach me to pray. There are countless scriptures in Proverbs. I'm actually going through Proverbs currently. And Proverbs talks over and over again about the foolishness of not wanting to learn. About the foolishness of not wanting to take wisdom. I just pray that in this church, we will be those that want to learn. I'm going to ask again those questions. Are you a disciple? Are you really following Jesus? Are you able to lay aside things so that you can focus on Jesus? Because if that's not you, Jesus says, you need to be. Every single one of us. We need to be disciples. You know, one interesting thing that I noticed as I was reading that Matthew 28. Is that it says when they came to that mountain, they saw him and they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. So this book was mixed. It was a group of people who were full of belief and full of faith. He is alive. But to all those people, Jesus said, go and make disciples. You don't have to be perfect. That which you know, you can teach someone that which you know. So all I know is about worship, for example.
Well,
I'm gonna teach you about that. And then you teach me about prayer or fasting or something. We don't have to have degrees and certificates and things to disciple one another. Second question, and this is the last one. We've already asked it. Are you discipling someone? Can you take an interest in someone in this church? Some of us have people on our hearts that we always think of that person. I really wish the best for this person. Maybe it's time for you to get closer. Would you like to meet with me? Can we just talk? What does that mean for you? Do you get baptized? Are you reading your Bible? Do you know how to read the Bible? Do you know how to pray? Do you know how to fast? How about church? What is church to you? When you see all these things, it's just so, I was going to say it's just so easy. Maybe not so easy, but once you start, these things come. And we are going to also provide you with material. But even today, you can come and say, hey, I have got someone, but I don't know what to do with them. Please give me something that I can use. And we will supply you with what you need to do this work. Church, will you stand with me? Are you excited about this?